Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody ready? Everybody ready? Let's get settled in here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, last week when I spoke to you about the gotta have the real thing, I kind of had fun doing that. We talked about the Coca-Cola back in the 60s. They had a promotion. Their promotion was it was the real thing, and all other colas were imitation, and there was no substitution for the real thing. And we talked about they got to have the real thing. The real thing was Jesus in the Word. We talked about the reality, the realization, understanding. And we talked about the realm of freedom. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36 says, who the Son has made free is free indeed. So we're freed by the truth, which is the word of God, and by Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. They were full of grace and truth. And as I was looking at that and I was meditating upon that, the Lord just placed this in my heart today. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh will reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And when we're looking at this, we're looking at seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you put a kernel of a seed of corn in the ground, you're going to get a corn plant. If you put a bean seed, you'll get a bean plant. You get my point. So what we're doing, what we're talking about today is sowing seed, sowing the word of God. You know, the word of, someone said one time, they said you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed, okay? And what we're, the seed that we're talking about is the truth, God's word being the truth. So for our text today, if you'll open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm starting in using this scripture reference because it's going to lead into where we're going also next week. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or faith and truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without anger and doubting. Today I want to focus your attention on verse number 4 for this morning's message. It said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The title of this morning's message today is Knowing What You're Sowing. Knowing what you're sowing. And I'm going to build a little acrostic off of the word sow. The S is for speaking the truth, the O for obeying the truth, and the W is for walking in the truth. So, speaking the truth, obeying the truth, walking in the truth. When we speak the truth and we obey the truth, we begin to walk in God's truth. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of God's word. Can we make a declaration in the house today? Repeat with me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do this day. Father, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that Carl gets out of the way, Father God. Spirit of the living God, speak through this vessel, Father God. May your word come forth and edify the body. May it encourage them, Lord Jesus. May it bring them comfort, Father God. If there's anyone that doesn't know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If there's those that have drifted away, may this be the day of the return. And for the entire body of believers, may our faith increase today, because your word says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your word. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory for everything that you're going to do in the house today, and we'll never cease to give you thanks, for I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. So we're looking at the word sow, and if you're familiar with farming, you're getting ready to get into that season. Yeah, if anybody's planting a garden, amen? I think it's almost tater season coming up, right? Amen? Where you put your taters in the ground. So we're going to talk first about speaking the truth. The truth comes from the Greek word aletheia, and it's A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. But in this context, which I'm going to speak to you today, it's an action word of the truth. It comes from the Greek word aletheuo. It's spelled A-L-E-T-H-E-U-O. And this word means to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. So we're not only to speak the truth, we're not only to share God's truth, but we share God's truth in love. The Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, if I come at you just beating you up with this word, you're not going to receive a whole lot that I have to say. God is love. God has given you and I the spirit of love. The Holy Spirit that's within us is the spirit of love. And as the spirit of love shares the word of God, it shares the word in love. If it comes forth in a word of correction, it comes forth in love. If it comes forth the word of rebuke, it comes forth in love. If it's a word of correction, it comes forth in love, because it's the love that's going to cover a multitude of offenses. In other words, when God is saying to you and I, when we share God's truth and God's word, we speak it in love. And he gave us an illustration. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn with me there, you there, say amen. Ephesians 4. The word of God says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Aletheuo, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen? So what we're doing is we're looking at the knowledge of the truth. The word, our text today, is God's desire for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's saying to you and I, as men and women of God, as we're sharing God's word, as we're ministering to others, that it's to be seasoned with love. Matter of fact, when Paul was teaching about gifts being in operation in the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, as he's teaching about gifts being manifested in the body of Christ, he says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. In other words, if what I'm saying and what I'm doing isn't seasoned in love, it's not going to have the effect that God desires it to have. Amen? I truly believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. God doesn't want us going around and telling people how bad they are. God wants you and I going around and telling people how good Jesus is. Amen? How good Jesus is. He is the truth. Amen? He is the truth, and he is life, and he is the way. So as we're speaking God's word, he just wants you and I, as his children, to season everything in love. Amen? We're speaking the truth, but if I'm speaking the truth and it isn't seasoned in love, it's just going to be a bunch of noise. I don't know about you, but I know about myself. I was a rebellious and a stubborn person. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. Come on, let's be real. Come on, let's be real. Nobody's going to be telling me what to do. I'm a man. I make my own decisions. Nobody's going to do that to me. But all of a sudden, when love came into the room, it was love that lifted me. It was love that lifted me out of the powers of darkness. It was love that delivered me from my addiction of cocaine. It was love that came into the room. It was love that came across the airways. I was watching TV. I'm in my room. I'm barricaded in my room. I've got a crack pipe in my hand. Honesty. And I'm watching Benny Hinn. Man, what was I doing watching Benny Hinn? But all of a sudden, in the middle, with a crack pipe in my hand, love came in the room. Love came in and gripped me. Love like I never felt before came in and surrounded me and delivered me from my addiction on that day. I was a cocaine addict for 18 years. Well, on October the 12th, 1997, love came in the room. God didn't come in the room to tell me how bad I was. God came in the room to show me how much he loved me. Amen. Amen. And it was that love. It was that love that changed my heart and changed my life. It's getting warm in here, Cody. You need to put the air conditioner on. It's getting hot in the kitchen. Getting hot in the kitchen. Hallelujah. You just wait. One of these days, Cody's going to jump out of that chair and start preaching. Hallelujah. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Condemnation didn't lift me up. Amen. Oh, man, I was raised. My dad was a hellfirestone preacher. I mean, brimstone preacher, right? Right? Amen. Hallelujah. So what is he saying to us? First, as we speak the truth, that we speak the truth and we season everything in love. Amen? And as we get closer to God, if God is love, as we get closer to him, we become the image of Jesus Christ. There's more love that manifests himself. There's more long-suffering and kindness and gentleness and temperance and meekness and faith. Hallelujah. That our actions and our words become seasoned in love. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, verse number 1, seeing we have this ministry, and we're going to the ministry of speaking the truth in love. We'll just call it that. It's a ministry of the gospel. And have received mercy, and we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves in every man's conscience in the sight of God, because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. So as we're going out on April the 19th, and we're going to Harris Gardens, and we're doing an outreach in Harris Gardens, we're going to go out in love. Amen. We're going to accept everybody just as they are. We're not going to judge anybody. We're not going to condemn anybody. But we're going to share the love of God. The same love that found you is the same love that I found that find them. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was a mess when the Lord found me. Amen. Sometimes we don't remember where we were when the Lord found us. Amen. Amen. I was in the miry clay, but he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Amen? Amen? You know, so as we're speaking the truth, we're going to speak the truth with and love. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 17, the Word of God says, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. For we are not as many that corrupt. In other words, we don't adulterate God's word. We do not water it down. If we water it down, it's not truth. And if it's error, the error isn't going to make them free. The truth is what's going to make them free. So, but if we can share the truth and speak the truth in love. I want to share something with you, and remember, there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I just received from a memo from Faith Christian Fellowship, the organization I'm involved with, and they're having meetings with the attorneys in a couple weeks. Because there's some new laws that are being passed in the state, and they're looking at this new law they're passing is that if a same-sex marriage, if they come to ask you at your church to marry you, according to this new law, you're going to have to marry them. And I will not do that. So there will be things that I'm going to stand by the Word of God. And, you know, as the times come, now let me get you to understand something with me. God loves the homosexual. But I can't do something outside God's word. If I start doing something outside of God's word, I become the world, and I'm not separating the world. And if I do that to you, I'm teaching you false lies. I'm teaching you not the truth. So I got to stand according to God's word. And there might be circumstances that come with it. The first thing you're going to do, there's a benefit as being a pastor with the IRS. One of the benefits is you're allowed a housing allowance. So part of my income is housing allowance, is untaxed money. Well, that's the first thing they're going to attack. But then again, that's between God's my supplier, not the government. God's your supplier, not the government. In other words, we've got to stand for the truth. That's when it's going to be the time when the church either accepts the Lord or denies him. In other words, you will go through tribulation in this world. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, when we stand for the truth, we got to stand for it, we got to believe it, and we got to hold fast to it. We can't allow us to be swayed and changed by the government. I submit to the government. I render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. I render to God's what is God's. But when the government asks me to go outside of God's law, God is above the government. Amen. God is above the government. And I'm not going to submit to anything that causes me to err in the sin and cause people to sin. If I stand up and do that, I'm saying it's okay. And the key is, there's all kinds of justice and peace, but the whole thing is an attack against the church. You look at the reality of what it is. It's an attack against the body of Christ. It's an attack against the foundation. And you know what the sad thing is? Many of them will do it. Many of them do it. And he says here, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity or of truth, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In other words, he is on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm not going to sway from the truth of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And guess what? If I get persecuted, if I get thrown in jail, if I lose my life, I know where my eternity rests. Amen. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. So when we know the truth, we got to stand for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. So, but at the same time, we speak the truth in love. And in other words, I can, in a loving way, if someone came to me and asked me to marry them, same sex, I can lovingly show them the word while it's beyond me, why I can't do it. What you do is between you and God, but as for me, I have a responsibility. Because if I do it, I become a partaker of your evil doing and your sin. And I become held responsible for it. If I stand up here and I teach you and say, it's okay, all right, and you die in this sin, your blood is on my hands. But if I tell you the truth, and you don't follow the truth and you die, your sin's on your own hands and not mine. Amen? So when we're looking at this, what is God saying is, hey, we can speak the truth, but we need to speak the truth in love. And then the most important thing is not only to speak the truth, but to obey the truth. Amen? You know, when I was looking at obedience, I was reminded in 1 Samuel 15, if you turn back there, when Saul was made king by Samuel in 1 Samuel 15, God gave him instructions to destroy Amalekite, to destroy everything about Amalekite. He didn't want anything left of the Amalekites. He didn't want any of their belongings. He didn't want anything left. He gave Saul instructions to totally annihilate Amalekites. You remember the Amalekites are the ones that resisted the children of Israel when they came through the Red Sea. And they first with the battle, and you remember with Aaron and Hur staying in the arms of Moses, and they won the battle. But he says in 1 Samuel 15:20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, that he has also rejected thee from being king. In other words, what he was saying to him is, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. God desires to stand to the whole truth, to obey the truth. It's not just speaking the truth. So many times we become like this. Do as I say, not as I do. In other words, do as I say. In other words, God's saying to you and I is when we hear the truth, we need to obey the truth. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22, The word of God says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit unto unfeigned, or unfeigned is one of the bad English words in the Greek. It's not a word that you use very much in the English language. It means sincere, okay? So we'll read it like this. See, have you purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the spirit unto sincere love of the brethren? See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by God's word. Matter of fact, Jesus says in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word is true. Amen. So when we're hearing the word, we not only need to hear the word, but we need to obey the word. Obey the word. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Matter of fact, Jesus, he illustrated it so clearly to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them or obeys them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not or does not obey them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell, for and great was the fall of it. What God is saying to you and I, when we stand and obey the truth of God's word, that we're going to go through storms in this life. The winds are going to blow. The rains are going to come. The storms of life are going to come. But your anchor will hold. Your anchor will hold fast. And I like that song, The Anchor Holds. How about that?
The anchor holds. The ship is battered. The anchor holds. The sail is
torn. Never mind. We don't know that one. All right. Nah, I don't want another one. Hallelujah. The anchor holds. No problem. No big deal. Yeah. But that isn't the one I wanted. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What God wants us to know, amen, that when we speak the truth in love, if you speak the truth in love, it's easier to obey. It's easier to correct your children when you do it in love. And they'll obey you more in love than they will in hardness. Right? Amen. He jumped up. Hallelujah there. Amen. In other words, if you correct and we do it in love, and what God is saying is we're sanctified through His word. His word is truth, and as we're made holy, and when the storms of life come, and we're in obedience to God's word, see, God's all about covenant. This is all about seed time and harvest. This is all about sowing and reaping. He says, "You do this, I'll do that." Part of a covenant agreement. Part of a covenant agreement is when somebody extends their right hand. The right hand? They shook hands? It was covenant? It was an agreement. Amen? And what God is saying to you and I is we're in obedience to His truth, and we come into a covenant with Him. We come into an agreement. Amen? Amen? In other words, He said, if you do what I say, if what I ask you to do, He ain't going to make you do anything. God gave you and I a will. He gave you and I a choice. It wasn't like with my daddy. My daddy said, do it my way or the highway. I was a little older. I was 8. No, no. I was 18. Do it my way or the highway. God says, hey, I'll show you the way, and the choice is yours. But I'm going to show you in love. And when I'm going along and I'm being disobedient, like I was a rebel, and rebellion of God, and as I was walking with God, he would gently show me and speak to me. And every time the Lord speaks to me, it's always in love. He always asks me these silly questions. And they're so easy to answer because every time it's always about me. It's funny. I just got to use this. I'll use this as an illustration of being stubborn and hard-headed. Yeah, everybody knows that I run every day, right? And I was disappointed, and I was kind of complaining with God the other day because the other day I gained like a couple pounds, and I, you know, and I work hard at keeping my weight and keep it maintained, and I was a little disappointed. And the Lord just showed me something. He said, "Okay." He said, "What'd you do last night?" I started showing me, and ate a tube of potato chips, Pringles. All right. No, it wasn't only there. I didn't stop there. But Jackie had bought these cinnamon cupcakes and these vanilla cupcakes. No, it wasn't Jackie's fault. It was me. She didn't force anything on me. But she goes, and I started counting. I ate 12 cupcakes and a tube of chips. And then here I am complaining. I'm serious, man. I'm being real. I ate a dozen cupcakes. Pray for your pastor. He's a glutton. But when he just started saying that, I said, oh, yeah. Oh, poor bad me. Oops. ooh. But it was in love. It was in love. Yeah, and he did it sweeter than the cupcake was. If anybody, I can get away from food, but I have this addiction to sweets. I went 10 years. Okay, wait a minute. I'm trying to justify myself now. Wait a minute. Here we go. Here comes the justification. No, I went 10 years. I went 10 years. I was a diabetic for 10 years. And I didn't cheat as a diabetic. I never cheated and ate sweets at all. I was very stern in what I did and a creature habit, and I wouldn't cheat on that thing. But on the first Sunday of 2010 in this sanctuary here, the Lord healed me of my diabetes. Amen. And on that day, he completely healed my body, all my blood. Everything was normal. Cholesterol, triglycerides, sugar, I mean everything. Blood, everything was just perfect and normal. And he told me to use wisdom and discipline. But I used the wisdom in what I eat and discipline in the exercise. But I started eating that sweet stuff, and I hadn't had it so long. It tasted so good. And I could just sit down, and if Jackie made a coconut cake, I could just sit and eat the whole cake. And just sit there. And then ask the Lord, forgive me after I was done. But I never asked for help in the midst of the cake. Lord, just wait a minute. Amen. But what the Lord is just simply saying to us, even though we go through things in life, we all have our different vices and we all have different things that come, that when we are obedient to his word and we follow his instructions, that he'll see us through. He is saying to you and I, when we speak the truth in love and we obey the truth, all of a sudden we'll begin to walk in the truth. You know, when I used to walk like an Egyptian, right? And now I'm supposed to be walking in the newness of life. Hello? I'm supposed to be walking as a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm supposed to be walking with old things passed away. Behold, old things have become new. I'm walking like a child of God now. Not while I'm eating the cupcakes. I do that in secret. But when you do things in secret, he opens your reward. When you reward, open in the reward, he's going to convict me. Now, each one, if you should be asking me, Pastor, how are you doing on the cupcakes? We're a brother's keeper, right? Amen? Pray for me. It's a bad addiction. Amen? I'm just saying, it's an addiction. I need the Lord's help. Oh, Lord, don't make me do that again. Gosh. Every time I ask for the Lord's help, first word I hear is always fast. Gosh. He said this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Amen. Praise God. So he wants us to walk in love. Everybody turn with me to 3 John. I'll shut this thing down here in a minute. Everybody go out and go to the restaurants or wherever and talk about your pastor. Well, I'm sure glad I'm not like that glutton. You know, the Word of God says in 3 John, verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, and have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. So as we're speaking the truth in love, we're being obedient to the truth, we start walking in the truth. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking in the light. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking in the spirit. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking in love. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking by faith and not by sight. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking in wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because he giveth liberally and he upbraideth not. So as we're walking in the spirit, we're walking in love, we're walking in the light, we're walking in wisdom, we're walking in the truth of God. That's what he is saying. As we know the truth, the truth is spoken, the truth is obeyed, and then we starts manifesting itself in the fruit in our life, because we start walking in a new light. We start walking in a new way. We start walking in love. We walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. We walk in the light, not in darkness. We walk in joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. We're walking in fruits of the spirit that's being evident, being evidenced in our life. And it's like he said in Ephesians 5:15-16, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, or being aware, or being awake, not as fools, redeeming the time, for the day is evil. We surely live in an evil time. We surely live in a dark time. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And what he is saying to you and I, we need to walk in the light as he is in the light, that we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. He said, let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. So as we're walking in this newness of life and obedience to God's word and the truth by love, all of a sudden it's being manifested everywhere we go. All of a sudden, when we go into the restaurant, you know, I have a thing, everybody knows here, I go eat Chinese every day. I have a part of my discipline is Chinese food. You say, why do you do that? Because I'm a disciplined eater. I don't eat a whole lot. I go to a buffet, but I don't, I'm disciplined when I eat. I'm just not disciplined with sweets. But when I come into the Chinese restaurant, because I had the opportunity to lead them to Jesus, when I come into the Chinese restaurant, praise and worship music goes on in the restaurant. When I go over to this Chinese restaurant, they put on the praise and worship music for me while I have my dinner, and everyone else is blessing the place. Amen. Because the light is so shining before men that they're seeing the good works. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. We should be the happiest bunch of people in this world. We should be the happiest people in this world. I was dead and going to hell, but Christ came into my life and gave me life, and I'm going to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hey, it's time for you and I, the body of Christ, to get a little excited about the Jesus we serve. Amen. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. Smile. Somebody asked you, what you so happy about? Just like when you're sitting there before the doctors and the nurses in that room, and you were there this week, and he said, oh, that's a miracle. That's marvelous. What did they say?
It was amazing. I was amazing.
You were amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Better stop on singing. I see. You know. You look at it, such amazing grace. Such amazing grace. Just the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, last Sunday, my grandson, the newest one, Aaron, he's 6 months old, and when he's crying, all Jackie does is give him to me. And he gets a smile on his face. And last Sunday, he was crying in the foyer, and she handed the Aaron to me, and he got a big smile on his face. And I start to sing, and that smile turned upside down really quick. You think the Lord was trying to tell me something there? I mean, it was instantaneous. All of a sudden, that smile turned upside down. Okay, and I started talking. He started smiling again. Hallelujah. So if I start singing to you, don't frown too much. I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I as children? You know, he wants us just to know what we're sowing. It's about knowing what we're sowing. Knowing what we're sowing. It's so important for you and I as his children to speak the truth in love. But not only to speak the truth, but to obey the truth. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as we're being obedient to the truth, we'll start walking in the truth. We'll start walking in the newness of life. Amen? God's desire is that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. So, Father God, may we be doers and not just hearers of your word. May we take the things that were spoken, may we meditate upon them, may we apply it to our hearts and our lives, and may we share your love with others. Lord, our prayer, Father God, is that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water, bringing life to whatever that comes in contact with. Father, we thank you that your word says that the water that you give will raise up and will never thirst, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that your word declares that blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word. We're grateful for what you sent it here to do today. We thank you for every heart and life that's gathered here, and I believe in my heart that everyone in the house is saved. But Father God, today we're going to gather together in the altar today to remember what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. We're going to gather together, Father God, and we're going to take of the bread representing your broken body and the blood representing your shed blood on the Calvary for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we gather here today, Father God, to partake of communion, Father God, may we do it reverently unto you, because you deserve all of our honor and all of our praise. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do, and we'll never cease to give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Could you gather around the altar with me here and come and join with us as we take the Lord's body and the shed blood? Let me say this to you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're worthy to take of the blood. And some people have said that you're not worthy to take communion. That's law. That's not grace.